Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we are starting our series of radio programs here in Paris, Missouri, in which I will explain the principles of success I have learned and developed over more than 40 years. I am delighted to be in your city and hope you will benefit from what I have to tell you. The first principle I will speak about is definiteness of purpose. Definiteness of purpose doesn't sound like a very imposing or a very dramatic subject, but, ladies and gentlemen, it's the beginning of all achievement worthy of mention. Wherever you find anybody who is succeeding, you'll find a person who has adopted the principle of definiteness of purpose in connection with the things he does, and he follows that principle at all times. That is why I have given it first position in these broadcasts, and why I will discuss it in our second broadcast as well. I'm going to give you an illustration of the importance of being absolutely definite in connection with your major purpose. Some years ago, right after the end of World War No. 1, I went into my safe deposit box and took out my written, definite major purpose, and in the paragraph in which I had stated my projected income for that year, 1919, it read, $10,000 per year. I took my pencil and added a zero to those figures, making the number $100,000, and laid the written statement back in the vault. I believed I needed to set my sights higher, and I don't think it was more than 3 weeks before a man from Texas came into my office and made me an offer of $100,000 a year if I would go down to Texas and spend 3 weeks out of each month writing sales literature for him. I accepted that contract, which he drew up, signed it, and went down there and ultimately raised some $10 million for him. He had drawn up a contract that was, I would say, very tricky. It specified that unless I stayed an entire year, I wouldn't receive any of my salary. In a little while, I began to see that he was misusing these funds, and instead of staying the entire year, I turned him in to the FBI and went back to Chicago and lost my entire salary up to that time. Then I went into my vault again and took out my definite major purpose, which I had written down, and read it carefully. Here is the way it read. I will earn during the year 1919 the sum of $100,000. I saw immediately when I read it carefully what was wrong with that statement, and I wonder if you could tell me what's wrong with it before I tell you. There's no doubt in the world but that I did earn the $100,000, because there's hardly anyone who wouldn't be glad to pay $100,000 for services which raised capital in the amount of $10 million. I earned it all right, but I didn't get it. I want to tell you now why I didn't get it. I didn't get it because I left two important words out of my affirmation. Go over the statement as I have given it to you and see if you can supply those two important words. I'll repeat the statement again. I will earn during the year 1919 the sum of $100,000. Now, isn't that definite? Or isn't it? You think that's definite? It sounds definite in a way, doesn't it? No, there were two words left out. I should have said, I will earn and receive $100,000 during the year 1919. Do you think if I had written it that way that it would have made any difference in the makeup of this crooked man who, perhaps from the very beginning, intended to cheat me? Do you think it would have made any difference as to the money I would have received? I'll tell you that it would have made a difference, and I want to tell you why. If I had placed emphasis on the fact that I was going to receive that money after I earned it, I would have taken that contract, which he drew up, to my attorney, and we would have gone over it very carefully, and my attorney would have provided a paragraph in there whereby I would get that money from month to month as I earned it. That's the difference it would have made. The majority of people who go into contracts and various and sundry arrangements and relationships with other people do so with such indefiniteness that there seldom is what the lawyer would call a meeting of the minds. One person will understand one thing, and another person will understand something entirely different. We need contracts because, unfortunately, some people are cheaters who cannot be trusted, or they will take the easy way rather than the honorable way. Taking the path of least resistance makes all rivers and some men crooked, and that was certainly the case with this man from Texas.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.